dreams don't glue. Uh-huh. Ed and Matt, they're the burnout kings, dropping that knowledge with sarcastic swings.
I'm Matt Hematics, math teacher, borderline burnout case, and firm believer that adulting should not include hallway duty.
And I'm Ed Plan, special ed teacher, professional problem avoider, and unofficial whiskey critic of the public school system.
This is Blackboard of Broken Dreams, where two tired teachers vent, rant, and try not to get fired.
Today's episode? Fiascos! The first ones, the worst ones, and the ones we still pretend didn't happen.
If you've ever questioned your career over a spilled iced coffee and a broken smartboard, this one's for you.
Quick disclaimer, all events, students, and administrators referenced in this podcast are completely made up, totally fictional. Don't quote us, sue us, or send us to PD.
This is for entertainment only, or venting, or possibly group therapy in audio form.
Now, back to the crumbling dreamscape. Do you think that we should be calling home all the time?
I mean, that's the question, right? Like, when is the appropriate time to make that phone call home?
Do I need to call home about this podcast right now?
I mean, maybe. I mean, my mom might be wondering where I am.
Did I ever mention in one of the previous podcasts that my mom was a teacher?
I don't think you have.
Maybe I should call her and let her know. Maybe that's what we should do. We should make a phone call every time a kid breathes in class.
Yeah, I mean, so when do you call home? Like, what is that criteria that makes you go, you know what? I probably should call home about this. Not even that. Do I have to call an administrator for this situation?
Gosh, you know, in the beginning, I felt like I needed to call probably most of the time.
Yeah, you know, when that kid is, like, calling another kid names, you're like, is this bullying? I don't know yet what bullying actually is.
Yeah, bullying is one of the, that's the B word.
Yes.
You know, that's very, that can be trendy at times almost. Is it wrong to say trendy?
I don't know if trendy is the right word.
Is it a fad?
I don't think it's a fad. I mean, it's gone on for years, so it's not really trendy anymore. But.
No, but it definitely gets called out more and as a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, I remember starting off and being like, well, this kid was really rude to this other kid. I should probably call somebody. Do I call the parent? Do I call an administrator? Do I just let somebody know?
Well, yeah, we probably should let people know if it's actual bullying. But that's the hard line, too. Is it a repeatable, targeted thing? But anyway, we probably would have to call home about that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing. I, like I said in previous conversations, like, I'm not a big guy to use the phone and call home.
You hate calling home.
I do, which is, it's bad.
It makes us feel a little uneasy at times. Sometimes I get butterflies in my tummy.
Yeah, I mean, I've done it. I still do it from time to time, but my criteria definitely has changed over time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I remember the first time that I was told, well, you're going to need to call home for that. And I was like, oh, gosh. I'll just tell the administrator I called home, and I'll actually call home if it happens again.
Yeah, and I don't know how your school does it, but like when we fill out referral forms or incident reports, there's always like, did you do this? There's all these check boxes. One of them's always like phone call home.
Yeah, the tiered intervention systems or whatever nonsense is the trend of the current year, whatever they want to call it. Who knows?
Yeah, but it's definitely necessary. I've done it multiple times, and every time it gets easier for me. But at the same time, it's sometimes I felt like I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have called home. I shouldn't have called for administrator's support or anything like that, but it definitely, you know, something we need to do.
So was there ever an incident for you where you opted to not call home, what you were questioning it in your mind, you're like, you know what, maybe I should?
Well, being a public educator and a mandatory reporter,
yeah,
you gotta call home if you think something was, you know, putting a kid's like emotional feelings at risk, where you might think, oh, well, now they're going to, you know, fester about this. It's going to be an issue. Or if you hear like a threat of violence, you definitely got to call home.
So do you
and call an administrator?
Oh, yeah. But now do you prefer the paper trail or the e-paper trail of the email? Or do you want the call home? Because with the call home, Well, you can put in your call log because you're supposed to have one of those things that, you know, you called home and these are the things you talked about. But then there's no actual record of what was said. It was this, you know, this call was not monitored by a recording system for training down the line.
Yeah, I'm a big paper trail guy.
I do like the paper trail in certain events, but I will definitely call home if I want to address something but don't want the paper trail.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll do an example. I'll give you an example right now. I had a student that was, it was a male student talking about a female student's rather large melons.
Oh.
And he liked her large melons. Now, naturally, I said, hey, this is not appropriate in class, et cetera, et cetera. And I encouraged him to stop immediately. And naturally, being a teenage boy, he continued his conversation about this other female student's large melons, whatever, you know, and he kept going. And I said, that's it. You know, I'm done. We got to call him. And I called. I didn't call dad. I called mom.
Okay.
Luckily, there was a mother to call, so I did call. But that was not an email I wanted to write.
No.
I
can understand that.
That was going to be an awkward email for me to write talking about the nature of that conversation. And so I opted for the phone call, and I was able to then use what he said verbatim. And let me tell you, the weight that carried to that mom, ooh.
I can only imagine.
Oh, she was absolutely appalled.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, and I will tell you now, if I've got, you know, when I have that student again, because naturally, as a special education teacher, you know, Mr. Plan here has them repeatedly, and the weight I can now throw saying, hey, I'll call your mom, you know I will, goes a long way.
Yeah, no, that was a smart move.
It was.
Because, like you said, the paper trail on something so delicate, like, I would not want to have that in an email and then have it, like, thrown back at me for some way or use the wrong context. And then tone of an email sometimes in that situation.
Tone is never interpreted.
Exactly.
I mean, like, our sarcasm in an email would not go over too well. I'd have to put, you know, those internet meme things that indicates that we're doing sarcasms. And yes, I said memes because that's what the children call it, right?
Yeah, I think it's memes.
Memes?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely am more of an emailer when it comes to stuff, but that's mostly for, like, grades and missing assignments, anything like that. Discipline stuff, if I think it's an issue, I definitely have called before. But I think I have a harder time, like, determining when I need to call for an administrator support.
That's a hard one. You know, it's the question of, because now you have to stop class.
Yep.
And you have to drop everything. And that kid now is getting publicly blasted, and they deserve it.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, they deserve it, and you're probably fuming. You're probably like me, and you turn bright red with anger and blood pressure boiling. And you know what? That's it. I'm calling. Of course, you know what happens every time you call. Who answers the phone?
Yeah, not the person you're trying to get a hold of.
Nobody. Where are they? I go down the VP list. Nobody.
Yes, it's happened to me multiple times, so I usually do a direct line to the office. Somebody will radio somebody. And I will have some support.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, and that's nice. You know, I do that too, but I like the discreet approach, calling them directly, because you know when it goes over the radio, everyone hears it.
Yes. And
we're going to Mr. Plan's room again. That guy can't get anything under control.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's a great response, you know, when it goes over the radio and stuff, but also because everyone hears it, like you said, like, are they getting this perception that, you know, Ed Plan can't control anything?
I got nothing.
That's a tough line.
Yeah. Now, maybe in a general ed sitting there with you, Mr. Hematics, it's easier. Maybe. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, sometimes.
Do the kids respond better to phone calls in the general ed setting versus the special ed setting?
Yeah, I feel they do because, you know, I don't know if there is a big difference, but I would imagine that there's a difference because, you know, you teaching special ed, I mean, there's contact home probably a lot whether it's signing IEPs, having meetings, all that stuff. So for like a general education kid, well, they're not always having these meetings, having these phone calls home. So like sometimes I think it has more weight.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, my kids are probably just numb to it at this point. They're like, oh, teacher called home again. In fact, I remember we shared one of these students.
Yes.
Where I called and the student's father was just like, what? What do you want? Again? Okay. Like, they weren't even, they were just so numb to it as well. The parent, all right, I'll talk to him. And that, nothing changed. Nothing changed.
No. I remember that student very well.
Those are the days.
I mean, speaking of us teaching together, I think I remember one day a kid got us so upset that you actually left the room to make a phone call home. Because the kid was like, you won't. You won't. And I know, I know for sure, if you tell Ed Plan, you won't.
Oh, he will. Yes, I do remember that. That was fun. I remember, because that was the beauty of being in a co-talk classroom. All right, Mr. Maddox, I'll be right back. Hold on, I'm going to put this phone number on the post-it note, and I'm going to go call this kid's parent right now. Holy cow.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a kid sweating so hard in one of my seats than that day.
He left a sweat stain in that seat, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
a little curvature of condensation.
Yep. I mean, on the opposite respect, I think we've had some fun with students that, you know, we could joke around with where you were told you won't again about emailing home.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure you emailed in front of everybody. And the kid thought, he got a good laugh out of it because he's like, go ahead, email my mom. You won't do it.
Put it right up there on the big screen.
Oh, yeah. It was classic.
I stopped class for that. You know, and I believe sometimes, you know, if you're going to publicly shame a kid, it has to be the right kid.
Yes.
You can't publicly shame everybody. But that kid was the right one. And because the entire time I was typing it out, they're like, oh, you're not going to do it. You're not going to send it. Because they were seeing everything I was typing live in front of the whole class. And the other students were probably chiming in and laughing at him or laughing at me probably. And then...
Yeah, but he was a good sport about
it. He was.
And he knew that, like, you were sending it, but he has such a good relationship with his parent at home that, like, he could say, yeah, he told me. I actually watched him do it. And it would have been, like, a funny conversation.
You know, I sent another one home. And I got to find that email because that student still brings it up. Now, this was a kid, and this is recently. This is not since we were teaching together. They were throwing nerd gummy clusters across the classroom. And the person had lousy aim. I mean, landed on my desk. And maybe he was trying to hit me. Who knows? But I sent an email home saying, hey, you know what? Your student has lousy aim and should not be throwing food across the classroom.
I mean, it's good advice.
Yeah. And I did it in such a way. And, like, I liked the kid. The kid was good. We have a good relationship together. And he was calling me out the entire time. You're not going to send it. You're not going to send it. You're not going to send it. So I said, screw it. I'm sending this. As we said before, I'll do it.
Yep.
And he goes the next day, my mom got the email. She told me not to throw food in class, but she laughed out loud when she got your email. I was like, perfect. That's all I needed.
Yep, that was the goal, right?
That's it. And, you know, that I think, honestly, that made the rapport with that student probably a little bit better.
Yeah, because like we've talked about in the past, like if you're going to say you're going to do something,
you got to do it.
You follow through and then you develop those relationships. You know who you can joke with. You know who you can't joke with. And you know the kid that, hey, if I email home, this is going to have a lot of weight to it. And maybe behaviors will change.
Maybe. I hope. So I have one more here for you on the do I call home about this. But I didn't call home. I didn't email home. I left it at a state where I handled it. And I questioned, should I send it to administration? I handled it in the classroom. I talked to the two students involved. And basically what it was a drawing that was turned in on a classwork that was assigned. Now, the drawing was to seemingly harmless stick figures. Unfortunately, one of the stick figures was harmed pretty dramatically. One of the stick figures who has a head of Pac-Man with now some closed eyes, and obviously a stick figure body here, was, looked like they were curb stomped.
Curb stomped. That sounds pretty hardcore there.
It's pretty violent, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, so the Pac-Man mouth is eating the curb with either drool or blood all over this. But mind you, it's a horrible drawing. Like, my children, who are probably 10 years younger, could draw something better than this. And then there was another one with this looks like an evil pilgrim with a double chin stick figure, but the head was not. And, you know, obviously wearing the pilgrim hat, claiming, "I'm Dirty Dave." And it has, like, his thumb pointing towards his head. And the other student drew a rather large member.
Okay.
A large member that ended up getting scribbled out. And there's some dashed lines coming out this large balloon animal type member here, somewhere around the hip region. And the dashed lines were flowing out of the member onto the curb stomped Pac-Man stick figure guy.
That's wild. I mean, I can't say I'm surprised because I've seen some amazing doodles in my lifetime of a teacher, but it seems pretty wild.
Yeah, I mean, here, I'm going to show it to you again. I mean, I know our listeners can't see it, and obviously I'm definitely not going to put this on the internet in case...
That's some angry eyebrows.
Right, And I was told by both students that this was a collaborative effort. One person drew the face, and then the next person added to it, and it was going back and forth when I questioned them about it. And I was like, well, who drew this part? And who drew this part? And who drew the balloon animal around the hip here? And they're like, one kid was like, well, I did. Well, who drew the dashed lines? And they're like, he did.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the one thing I do appreciate, the alliteration. Dirty Dave, you said?
Dirty Dave, yeah, Dirty Dave. They listened in English class, yeah. I think, maybe. And then there's, of course, the other student's name with an arrow pointing to the member. So they named it after the other student.
Fair enough. So did you call admin or?
I did not.
Email home?
I did not even email home. I was so close. So I've got it in my drawer, and every time that student decides to do something ridiculous. Now, I put a post-it note over it with some emoji faces that I drew on it to kind of censor it, but also show my disdain for their drawing, because obviously I had to grade the paper. They did excellent work on it. And I keep it in my drawer, and every time they go crazy, I just hold the paper up real slow.
So you're kind of blackmailing them right now.
This isn't blackmail.
Collateral for behavior?
It is collateral for behavior. This is a behavior modification technique.
Okay.
Because I talked to both of them individually, and I said, hey, you know, there's a lot going on here to interpret. I go, I can take this many ways, and, you know, I can talk about mental health. I can talk about maybe, you know, if this were handed to the wrong person, they could be going down the sexual harassment avenue. Like, holy cow, this drawing was loaded with context that could be extruded in any way you wanted.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack in that picture that I saw.
And so I'm telling both of these students this, and they're like, no, we were just being idiots. And I'm like, yes, you're right. You were being idiots. And I don't care what you draw in your spare time. You do your own artistic things on your own time. That's fine. But why did you turn it in?
And you said that they turned it into you.
They turned it in directly to me. Well, they put it in my turn-in bin, which I then got out and went, check mark, you did it. And what the heck is this drawing here?
Yeah, that's unfortunate for them.
So it's on the back burner. If I get another one, I'm going to. Now, and they are both receptive to it.
Okay.
And I explicitly said to them, if this behavior doesn't change, et cetera, like, this is going into the email, the phone call, to administration. I'm going to have a field day with this. So now I just hold up the piece of paper.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, like, friends goofing around, but that's pretty wild.
Right, and it's definitely not an appropriate place. But at the same time, I know exactly what administration's going to do. They're going to say, hold out your wrist while I slap it.
Yeah.
And they're going to do jack squat about it. So I wasn't going to waste their time or mine.
Especially when it's a collaborative effort. I mean, they're doing group work in your class.
Congratulations. They did group work. Checkbox.
Yeah. That sounds like you're doing a good job there, Ed.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Anyway, off to the next thing. Speaking of going to administration, how do we know which VP to reach out to?
I'm assuming you mean, like, who's going to handle the situation the correct way or the most delicately if I need it to be?
I figured you'd just go down the alphabet list. I got the top half, they got the bottom half, or should we pick and choose carefully?
No, we all know some situations require a delicate hand, and some require maybe a little heavier hand, right?
Yes. Yeah, certain students need the heavier hand in certain situations. They'll tell you which VP they don't want if you're in a building with multiple VPs.
Ooh, I love when they give me who they don't want to show up because that's the first person I'll call.
Oh, absolutely. Don't call Mr. Evil Principal. He's going to be mean. I'm like, yes, we're going to call that one. Get him down here now.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you got to do that, though, because it's going to get the desired result.
Right. Absolutely.
Because if they don't fear what's happening, is the behavior going to change?
No, you probably scroll through like you're picking a Mortal Kombat fighter.
Yeah, I look at the stats and I'm like, all right, oh, suspension rate's good. This is the one I want.
Right? Oh my gosh, that's, wow, yeah. That's a good point.
Because you have to. You have to be aware of how it's going to be dealt with. And sometimes you don't get a choice, and I get that. Like, people are busy. Sometimes there's a lot of stuff going on in a day. Or maybe someone's out and all that stuff. But I definitely, if I have the choice, I will choose certain people depending on what the situation is.
Oh, absolutely. There are sometimes, though, I've called and they've said, oh, I'm busy, call so-and-so. Or so-and-so handles that particular student. Even though it could be theirs, you know, alphabetically or whatever. And then I'm just sitting there going, oh, no.
But it goes again to the delicate balance that has to be there. So some, you know, administrators have a great relationship with that kid who's maybe the one that's in trouble a lot.
Right. Sometimes it makes more work for us, too.
It does.
Because they're going to go, well, I'm going to need you to write this up, send an email, call home, and do it all in triplicate.
If I know that's what's going to happen, because you know how much I love calling home, that's going to be the last person I call.
I don't blame you.
Or if it's like, oh my God, there's going to be so much stuff to do that I don't have the time to do this right now. Let's pretend that this didn't happen right now.
Right.
Let's have this conversation about how this is not okay. But you know what? If it continues, then I'll call.
Right. Yeah. So there are the principals and the VPs who, I was going to make a really wrong reference. I'm going to do it anyway. We've got the black and white ones, and then we've got the 50 Shades of Gray, but the wrong context. I want the ones who understand the gray area.
Yeah.
Right? I want the VP who understands gray, especially in special education, who understand disabilities, who understand ADHD, who understand behaviors, behavior plans, even though nobody reads them, right? Just stick them in a filing cabinet.
I mean, we are required to read them. I read all of mine every year, just so you know.
At least once?
At least once.
I skim them?
Sometimes I will definitely double check if, you know, whatever I'm doing is not working. I'll be like, I must have missed something.
Do you know what's funny is when you get a kid in class who you think had a behavior plan, but they didn't?
Yeah, I mean, that's the tough part, though. And then, like, you have students, like, who may work better with a male teacher or better with a female teacher. So when it comes to calling an administrator, like, you have to play that into it, too.
Oh, yeah, that's a great point. You know, the whole male and female comes almost probably back to the whole mom and dad situation, whatever situation they have at home.
Yeah, the disciplinarian and the non-disciplinarian.
Right. So there was a study out there. I got to go find it. My wife was just telling me about this study that children are 800% more likely to have bad behavior with their mother.
Why is that?
Because they feel safe.
Oh, well, they do say that whenever, you have tension between someone or freak out on them, that you feel safe with them. So you feel like you can lose it on them because they'll be more forgiving.
Great. So you're saying that we have like 10,000 students that feel comfortable with us, which is why they lose it all the time.
I mean, some days it feels like that because, like, I've had some kids that I've had great relationships with. And then I feel like a punching bag some days.
Then they come back and apologize to you and do it again like they're your best friend.
They do. But, like, those are the kids that, like, they need a safe space. And, like, you might be that person where they take it out on you.
Gosh, that is draining.
Well, that's welcome to being a teacher.
Welcome to whiskey.
Yeah, there you go. However you cope,
or right? Wine or whatever it is, whatever your coping mechanism is, candy, chips.
Yeah.
My mom's coping mechanism was a bag of chips. She enjoyed the crunch.
It just got, like, in her teeth and was like, yes. It's like grinding your teeth, but without grinding.
Right. You could sense the aggression because she wasn't a big drinker, although now probably. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, the emotional ups and downs that you deal with on a daily basis can definitely take a lot out of you.
And it is hard to check out. I believe in the separation of church and state. Church being home, state being the school.
I agree with you. And I think working with you helped me realize that because it made me, like, separate and go, okay, I'm leaving school. I'm checking out.
Yeah.
I'm done.
That's it. I don't check my email at home.
I don't either anymore because I used to.
No.
But now I don't because I don't want any – I don't want my night being ruined after my day was ruined. That whole, like, you know, six hours, 7 hours by craziness. I mean, you know, it's just draining, and I don't want to go and check my email and be like, uh-oh, this happened again?
I know. So for all you teachers out there that actually check your email outside of work hours because you're quote-unquote helping a student and waiting for them to ask you a homework question, God bless your heart.
Yeah, or if you have your email on your phone, don't do it.
Well, there's many reasons for that.
There's lots of reasons for that that some people probably don't even realize.
Well, there's the psychological effects, but also if you're involved in a high-profile case, I mean lawyers involved, and you've got that email on your phone, they could subpoena that phone into court.
Yep.
And then how are you going to scroll TikTok?
See, I never realized that was a thing.
How are you going to listen to our podcast?
Yeah, but I never realized that was a thing until a few years ago when it, like, literally happened to people I knew.
Oh, God. I remember new teacher orientation when we were in the same district. The lawyer came in and said that to us specifically. Do not put your email, your work email, on your phone because it could be subpoenaed into court. Yeah. That means, or any personal device for that matter.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's why if the school issues me a device, that is where I'm doing all of my schoolwork.
Right, and you at least can close that laptop at the end of the day.
Yeah, because I don't need it.
Throw that iPad like a Frisbee on the disc golf course.
Well, I'm not going to do that. I would probably be liable for that, but...
I'll put a case on it. You'll be fine.
I guess so. I mean, depending on the case.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, fiascos happen all the time, right? I mean, we've been working long enough where we've almost seen or heard everything.
Or been involved in some of the same ones.
Yes. I mean, we have. I mean, we co-taught for, what, 5-6 years, so definitely had a lot of situations come up together. I remember there was one year where I literally had a kid, like, chip his tooth in class, and you were in my classroom but then got switched out. Because of, I don't know, something, some scheduling error or whatever.
Yeah, somebody made a mistake up higher up.
But I remember, like, one of his friends, like, hit his head against the desk, and he was like, oh, my gosh, my tooth. And I looked, and he was missing, like, half of his tooth. And all the other kids were like, we got to find it. We got to look for his tooth.
Did they find it?
We did. I mean, there was kids crawling on the ground, and someone's like, does anybody have milk? You got to put it. And fun fact.
You're right, they do.
They were right, and I never knew this. Like, you know, here I am, and there's a kid telling me, you got to put in milk. So I don't know if they've had experience with this stuff before.
Where did they get the milk from?
I think it was, like, after lunch or, like, someone brought it back. So they did have milk. A kid had, like, just a little milk cart, and they're like, let's put it in.
It's going to have my DNA in it, but who cares?
And then talking about calling home, I remember.
Oh, my gosh.
I literally was like, I don't know what to do. Like, this has never happened before. What do I do in a situation like this? So I literally asked my admin who came because I was like, I should probably call about this, right? So I called an admin. They came and they're like, yeah, just to cover yourself, you probably want to call mom about this or call dad. And I remember calling home and the mom was just like, oh my gosh, what did he do now? Him and his friends. And I thought I was going to get, like, reamed out about it. But she was like, yeah, this is like a normal Tuesday. And I was like, okay.
Well, at least that was on your side.
Yeah, and I was dreading that. Like, I was dreading it so hard that, like, had anxiety about it. Was like, I'm going to throw up because I'm so nervous about making this phone call because this is a kid's front tooth chipped in half.
Oh, man. I remember that story, and I remember being out of, I remember the students coming up to me telling me all about it because I had left.
Yeah, and the kid was, like, leaning over to tie his shoe, and his friend hit his, like, just hit his head and didn't realize it. Like, it was a total accident. I mean, it wasn't an accident, but it was an accident. Like, he didn't mean to hit the kid's face against the desk, but.
Oh, my gosh.
It was wild.
I don't know what I would do if in a parent in that situation.
I don't know. Like, I would be, like, so mad that right? I would just be like, who is this kid? I need to talk to him. But she handled it super well, and, like. They got his tooth fixed because the next day he was like, it never happened.
That's amazing. That's great. You know, I thought the other story you were going to tell was where the girl whipped her breakfast sandwich at us.
No, you were there for that.
I was there for that one.
Yeah, that was an interesting conversation. And then, like, we both were like, do we take a bite out of the sandwich
do
and then
I
give it back?
Call home? We didn't call home for that one.
Oh, we definitely called an admin.
We called an admin and said, that one's yours. So that story, now I know things have changed over the years. This is definitely a pre-COVID story.
Yes.
Breakfast was not allowed in the classroom, period. Food was not allowed in the classroom, period. And so we were following rules because admin would occasionally walk by and give teachers, not the students, they'd give the teacher a hard time for allowing students to have food in the classroom.
And it was a school rule, so
it was
I totally understand
right?
it.
You know, allergies, et cetera, whatever. Now, I'm a firm believer of breakfast being one of the most important meals of the day because I saw that on some TV show growing up as a kid, right?
And TV shows don't lie.
TV shows. It was PBS-related, I'm sure. However, that was ingrained in my head. So I'm like, yes, breakfast is important. And I was making these excuses to this girl. I was like, do you need to use the bathroom? And she was like, no, I don't need to use the bathroom. I'm like, I don't think you're reading between the lines. Do you need to go get a drink of water? And she's like, no, I don't need a drink of water. I have a nice big Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee right here. I'm like, you're still not reading in between the lines. Let me try this again. Do you need to use the bathroom? No, I don't need to use the bathroom. I'm like, okay, you can't eat in here. Yeah. And she lost it on us.
She did, and we had a good relationship with her.
Yeah, you came, and you were back up to, and you know you can't do that, and you even tried the same tactics.
Yep.
And she lost it.
And I think we've done, like, the hint.
Right?
And
like,
the hints
cough,
were,
cough, hint.
The hints were not landing, but we were just like, we don't want you to waste your food. We get it. But please go somewhere where you're not here right now to finish this sandwich.
You just can't eat in the classroom. I'm going to pretend I didn't even see it if you walk out with it.
Yeah, and I remember that the sandwich got thrown. We called admin. They came, took the student, and then they came back and they're like, do you have the breakfast sandwich?
Well.
And I don't know if it was for the student or for the administrator.
They were
going
to eat it. They heard it was like a bacon, egg, and cheese, and they got excited.
And then I remember our students were egging us on. They're like, you should definitely take a bite. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I should. It would be the ultimate power move.
You could have taken a bite out of one side. I would have taken a bite out of the other side. We could wrap it back up and be like, here.
Here's your sandwich.
Here's your sandwich. Because I think she called us some explicit words during the midst of launching it from, you know, across the classroom. I think she was aiming for the trash can, but it definitely felt like it was headed in our general direction.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was definitely thrown with some violence.
You want it? You can have it. No, I don't want your sandwich because now it's all squished.
Yeah, it was wild. But, I mean, we've definitely had some crazy things happen. I mean, do you remember we had one student who was kind of famous?
Oh, were they maybe on TV?
Yeah, they were on a show that... You know, might deal with paternity tests. It's a daytime show.
Yeah, that
many people might know.
Oh, yeah, that where they do the DNA thing.
Yes.
Where DNA is a guest star.
Yes. But I remember I had that student, and we didn't even really know that we had that student until we talked about some of our fiascos and some of our crazy situations.
We both had that same exact student.
Yeah.
I think I had that student their freshman year.
Yeah, and she was like, what, 13, 14?
Yeah, so you're a freshman in high school. You're 14 years old at least, right? Maybe turning 14 if you're late.
Yeah, and I remember in the middle of the class, like, this information was brought up to me by the student. And I was like, wait.
Were you famous?
He's like, you were on TV with this show? And it was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, like, were you one of the kids on the show? And it was like, oh, no. I was looking for my baby daddy. And I was like, and I was like, no, I didn't believe it because like, it's something like as a teacher, like I never thought I would meet somebody who's been on the show.
Let alone a child having a child.
Yeah.
You know, 13. So if you figure if we had them as a freshman, they were 14-ish.
Yeah.
That means they had that child at somewhere between 12 and 13 is my guess. Maybe 14, but definitely pregnant somewhere in the 13 age range.
Yeah, but I was like, no, like, you're serious? Like, are you pulling my leg? And she was like, no, I'm not pulling your leg. Like, you can look me up. Sure enough, I looked her up.
We did, yeah. I remember watching it, and I'm just like, no way. And you know, at the end of that episode, they didn't find the baby daddy. They'd have her back.
Yeah.
But she did tell us, didn't she tell us some interesting facts about that show?
Yeah, she told me that, you know, she didn't want to cry because she wanted me to watch it. Like, she told me to watch it. And I was like, okay, I'll look it up. And I mean, this is probably like, I don't know, this is years ago. So like,
gosh, this has got to be over. It was probably almost 15 years ago now that we had that student.
Yeah, it was probably one of my first or second years. So like, I was not prepared for this type of situation. And, you know, sure enough, like she told me like, oh yeah, like I didn't want to cry, but you know, they pay you extra if you cry. And I was like,
no.
And I was like, they pay you to go? Like, I didn't know people got paid for shows like that.
I could laugh on command. I don't know about cry, though.
Yeah, it was like an interesting situation. Like, talk about fiascos, like, where think a kid is, like, pulling my leg and then it's not. Like, it's a true thing. And I felt awful and I apologized. I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I thought you were kidding.
The stories you don't want to believe.
Yeah, I guess so. Like,
but there's so much detail here that maybe I will believe it.
Yeah, but it was wild.
Oh, man. So, because we talked about these kids who are, you know, troublemakers and they do horrible things like drawings or smack each other's friends in the back of the head, do you give them detention?
Are we talking about now or back when I first started?
Well, let's start at the beginning.
When I first started, detentions were given all the time.
Part of the tiered intervention system that every good teacher should be following.
Absolutely. So I would give detentions. There were a couple things I learned about detentions, though.
What's that?
So if there's two things that would happen. Either they didn't show, which I would have to write them up anyways, because that was policy.
Right.
Or they would show up. And then I would realize, am I punishing them or am I punishing myself?
Who are you? Who were you punishing?
Sometimes it felt like it was myself because now instead of one time in that day, I was having them two times in that day. And the behavior didn't necessarily change.
No. I agree with you. The detention thing is a moot point sometimes.
Yeah, and then also when you have for detention, what do? Are you that teacher who's like, you're going to take the dictionary and pick A and write every word from this word to that word?
Gosh, you know, I've done a handful of different things at detentions in the beginning. Now, what I do for detention now is entirely different, but what I did then, gosh, I would... Well, sometimes I would talk to them. Hold on. Let me backpedal for a second. I had a couple different detentions. The first detentions I did, naturally, they sucked. They're like, oh, now I'm stuck with this kid until the late bus or the parents come or whatever. And I had them stay the entire time because that's what I thought you were supposed to do. And I was like, okay, you know, this is why it's bad, et cetera. And then after a few minutes of doing that, I'm like, well, I don't really have anything else. So you're going to sit here and you're going to do work for your classes. Or you're going to make up work for me that you're missing, because odds are they're missing work for you. Yeah. It was a great time to get them caught up on work. In reality, they should have just stayed after for extra help anyway.
Yeah, so your detention was just extra help sometimes.
Yeah, it could be. And then I realized that, you know, I give them a detention that's, you know, quick and easy, and that keeps it usually would work because my thing to them was, well, I'm going to give you detention. Now, granted, this is high school and not elementary school or not middle school. Maybe you could pull this off in a middle school setting. So, all right, you've got detention. If you get to me quickly, you can make your bus.
That's pretty good.
So I would tease them with it. But then you have to make your way to me, and I'd be like, all right, here's the deal. You've got detention. You're showing up. And I wouldn't tell them that in the beginning. I'd encourage them that they have to show up for detention. And then for the first few kids, I wouldn't even tell them that they were going to make it. I would just be like, all right, you made it. You showed up. Congratulations. Do not do this again. Next time it's longer. Go get your bus. And they're like, wait, what? I'm like, yes, go get your bus. If you run, you can make it. And then as they're leaving, I'd be like, no running in the hallway. You know, but they would make it. And then I didn't have to call parents. Nothing else happened. But I did keep that note of it. Like, oh, hey, I gave Matt detention. Mathematics had detention for 10 seconds.
Yeah, you document it just so you have that tiered intervention.
Because I forgot usually half the time.
Yeah.
But that seemed to work for a lot of kids. Didn't work for everybody.
Yeah.
Do you have a memorable detention?
Or
one that you were assigning that was memorable?
Not really. I mean, like I said, it's been a while since I've done a detention because I kind of do what you do where it's like, you know, you just inconvenience them a little bit.
Oh, that's the worst. They hate that.
Just because it's a power move to get them to come to your class. And then you're like, oh, you showed up. Oh, you missed your bus. Oh,
I can't stay for much longer. I got to go. You're going to have to go sit in the library. What?
Yeah, so they're inconvenienced. But because I learned that, like, sometimes you're punishing yourself. Like, you're there and the kid still, like, doesn't get it. Like, I've tried to be that guy to be like, all right, let's have a conversation. You know, Mr. Hematics thinks he can talk sense into people sometimes. So I
can
like
you?
To have sometimes. So I like to have that conversation and try to treat them like the human being they are. They're a person.
Right.
So let's like reason about this. Like, hey, what did you do? And then they'll tell me what they did. And it's like, oh, do you think that was a good idea?
Yeah, of course.
And they sometimes are like, well, I didn't think it was that bad of an idea. And it's like, well, you know, herein lies the issue that's why we're here. And then you have the conversation, you try to talk sense to them,
yeah.
And be like, you know, I don't need the power imbalance of you trying to contest what I'm doing every day. And you have that and you hope that it, you know, makes sense. And then sometimes you go and you have to escalate and be like, hey, if you keep it up, we're going to bring this up a notch. I'm going to call home or I'm going to call a VP next time because you know what? This
right.
can't keep happening.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that helps. That usually works for most kids.
For most kids. But
we had a few where it didn't.
Oh, we've had a bunch where it didn't.
You know what the best ones were when we shared one of those students who was like, I'm not showing up. And you're like, well, I'm going to have to send in an office slip, write it up. And they're like, well, I'm not showing up. And I'm like, I would appreciate it if you didn't show up. I don't want to have to spend time with you either. I mean, I said that in my head. I didn't say it out loud. But generally, that's how I feel. If I'm giving a kid the detention, I don't want to spend more time with them. I don't like them. Why would I want to spend more time with them?
Yeah, and like
those are the kids getting detention.
Yeah, and you try to do stuff like before I had the conversation stuff, I used to actually like have them write down like almost like an apology letter of like,
ooh,
what did you do wrong? Like a behavior reflection. Like what did
oh,
you do
yeah.
wrong? You know, are you feel bad about anything?
No.
And
those are such BS.
And you know how much kids love to write things. So they looked at it and they're like, oh God. And it was just like one line. It was like a yes, no. I won't happen again, and that was it.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, pressing the conversation is good. But, again, like, is it punishment to them, or is it punishment to yourself?
Oh, it's definitely punishment to us.
And I'm not a glutton for punishment, so
no.
I don't want to punish myself.
Oh, no, you're a glutton for punishment. You went into teaching.
That's true. All right, maybe not to the extent that I want to stay after the hours where I'm not getting paid to have these conversations.
No, you're salaried. You're not hourly, just as a reminder.
I realize that. But I already do a lot outside with grading papers and sending emails and dealing with all that. Now, do I want to be like dealing with behavior out of the school hours?
No.
So that's why it's like detentions. Who's it for?
I like when you have a school that has a specific detention teacher, because then you can give it out like candy. Oh, I hate having detention with that person. Or go back even further into time. I mean, they did movies based around this. Saturday detention. That's gone.
Yeah, I'm curious if it's still out there. I remember when I was in school, that was a thing.
Are there any of you listeners out there that have schools that do Saturday detentions? We'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, and if there's anyone out there who thinks they have this detention thing down about something that's successful to keep kids, like, and changing, like, keep kids there and changing the behavior, I'm all ears.
Where it's less work for us and more work for them.
Yes.
And there's that whole 80-20 thing rule out there that I don't fully understand or maybe even believe in, but if I don't have to do anything, even better.
That's always a good thing because we already got a lot on our plate.
Yes. So instead of handing it out like candy, now, we were talking earlier today, and you had a rough day.
I did have a rough day.
You had a real rough day.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 15 years in, still have days that are like, what am I doing here?
And the best part about this is we're recording on a Monday.
Yes, a Monday. So this is fresh, and the incident that I'm going to be discussing happened like bright and early, like had two sips of coffee, like wasn't even starting my day really.
Right.
So thank you for bringing this up. You know, we're going to talk about some violence in school, right? Like,
oh yeah.
I was unprepared for dealing with fights at school in my first years. And I dreaded for my first fight. I was dreading to see what happened. Like, what do you do? Like, because you're dealing with, especially, I mean, in high school, we're dealing with people who are almost like bigger than me most of the time. Like, there's some tall kids. There's some big kids in high school.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you're dealing with kids who are minors and stuff. So when it comes to, like, violence and, like, trying to restrain or put your hands on somebody, like, you don't want to do it because you don't want to get in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Well, now there's honestly the fear of a lawsuit or anything happening or, you know, losing your job.
Yeah, I don't want it to be like, you know, Mr. Hematix, he grabbed my arms and then he just made me into a punching bag. Because, like, you know, when you're trying to do your best to, like, keep kids apart, like, it's, what do you do, right?
Now, there's one of our friends who worked at the same place. He would defend fight. I say defend because it reminds me of a defensive basketball player. He would basically spread his arms out like he was playing defense in basketball and trying to get in the middle without actually touching anybody. And I don't know how he did that. I think he specifically did that with female fights.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's a whole nother realm, too, because, you know, being a male teacher, like, I don't want to put my hands on a female student. Like, that's not, doesn't make, I'm very uncomfortable to, like, have to deal with that.
I don't want to do it. I definitely, are you kidding me? In this day and age, I am not even, I'm just going to be like, hey, stop, no, don't. They're pulling each other's hair and whatnot, but this fight that you had today was not a female fight, right?
No, it was between three people and...
Three?
Yeah, it was three people. So there's a little outnumbered situation happening here. So, you know, I'm always trying to be very diligent to be in the hallway and then be vigilant in the hallway as well to see what's happening because, like, you know, you got to have eyes everywhere in high school.
Teachers have eyes on the back of their head. It's been quoted numerous times.
Between vaping, bullying, you know, violence, like, you want to make sure kids are safe and all that stuff. So I was, you know, every day I go out in the hallway in between classes. Like, I feel like that's good practice of teachers. Even if you're not required to do it, I think it's a good thing to do because the more eyes, the better.
Right, absolutely. I agree with you. The more eyes, the better. But was everybody standing in the hallway this time, or?
So it was immediately after, like, the period ended. So our period ended, the bell went off. And before I could even make it out my door, I could hear, fight, fight, fight. And I was like, uh-oh. So immediately,
don't you love how they start chanting? Yeah. Like, it's like WWE or something.
Well, it's stuff that you see in the movies, and you're like, kids don't actually do this, but they actually do.
They do.
So, like, I had papers because I was, like, getting ready with my due now, being like, we're going to start math on Monday. So I took my papers and just dropped them. Couldn't find them after the whole fiasco.
No.
And then it took me, like, 3 or 4 minutes to find them in my room because I must have just, like, tossed them because, you know, you hear a fight, and you're like, I got to get out there. So sure enough, I ran out there. And there's, like, kids crowded around this big fight that's happening. And I look around, and I'm like, uh-oh.
They made a ring.
I think I'm the only adult in here, right?
Oh, great.
So luckily, my neighbor across the hall from me, she was coming out, and I was like, you know, call for somebody, call for somebody. So I went, and you know, I do what I'm trying to do. You try to get space in between them, right?
Yeah.
And then you start yelling, stop, stop, you got to stop. Like, you can't do this, stop. But that's what they want you to do. They try to de-escalate the situation.
Yeah, we de-escalate by escalating ourselves and yelling, stop!
Yeah, and then you feel like the rush of adrenaline. Oh, you're like, oh, gosh, yeah. What is going to happen here? So, you know, there was two kids fighting another kid. And I don't know what started it. I don't know how it started. Because like I said, I mean, there shouldn't have been anybody in the hallway until the bell rang. So I don't know if it was a planned thing or whatever. But, you know, I made it out there and they were, you know, throwing fists and everything else. And there was a moment where I got in between them. But seeing there was two aggressors, I was standing there and I ended up blocking one.
This kid's getting jumped.
But then the other kid came around.
Flanked
and like,
him.
Yeah, and flanked him, hit him good, knocked him down, like so much where he was like, you know, bleeding and everything else.
Yeah, biohazard.
Yeah, and I know how you feel about that. Bloop. Like, you get a paper cut, and you're like, oh,
I'm going to pass out.
I need to go to the nurse. Can someone walk me down? I'm going to faint, because I know how you deal with blood. But
not too good.
So, you know, he was down on the ground, and they're still attacking him while he was on the ground. And sure enough, they, like, stepped away, because they thought it was done. But the kid got up again, so, you know. They bumped into other people trying to get into another group of people. They moved into another area, and I saw an opportunity. So I was like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to grab somebody just to get in between them, like keep them against the wall or something so they can't move. So I did it. And like me being who I am, I'm not a big guy. You know, I'm pretty average. So I grabbed the one who was getting beat on, and I put him against the wall with my hand, which I felt uncomfortable doing it because, like I said, I don't want to put my hands on somebody.
Right.
And I was leaning against him, and I felt, like, the warmness of the blood that dripped on his sweatshirt, and I'm like, oh, gosh.
Oh, that's so gross.
This is uncomfortable on so many levels for me, but I don't want him to get beaten up so badly that he doesn't wake up. You know what I mean? Like, because when you get hit in the head, like, anything can happen.
It's quick, too.
And luckily, when I was holding them, like, I had my other hand out, basically being like, you will not pass this threshold. I'm here. I got this. Don't even think about it. But luckily, I didn't have to do anything because another, you know, a couple other teachers came around the corner to get, like, body block and everything. But it's just crazy to think that, like, here it is. I got, you know, the administrators came, took the kids, all that stuff. You know, our resource officer was there and everything. But then I'm looking down, I'm like, oh, I got blood on my hand and on my arm and stuff. And I'm like, hey, what do I do? You know what I mean? Like, I have to teach class right now.
What did you do? Could you get into the bathroom?
Luckily, like, another teacher saw me and was like, oh, you know, you definitely should go clean up. So he's like, I'll cover your class. So he did that. And, you know, I washed my hands like 40 times because it made me feel gross and uncomfortable.
You're missing a funny part of the story. Could you get in the bathroom?
I couldn't get into the bathroom.
Why could you not get in the bathroom?
Well, it's an occupied because we have the nice locks that...
They turn red. Don't come in.
It eliminates you from having to knock and have that uncomfortable...
I'm pooping.
Who's in there?
Yeah.
So, you know, I saw it was occupied. I was like, well, what do I do? So, like, luckily there's like a teacher room that has a sink.
Yeah.
So I did that. But turns out I found out that one of my colleagues was in there going to the bathroom.
Huh?
Yeah, number two. And I heard about this later in the day because they asked me, then, you know, they came in and were like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, you know, I was in the bathroom when this all happened. They were very open about it. And I was like, I don't blame you. Like, you know, you were in there. You probably heard the melee and were like, well, what am I going to walk out to? Especially, like, it's like, you know, bathrooms at school can be uncomfortable because they're very echoey and everything to begin with.
You can hear everything outside that door.
Yeah, so you don't want to come out and be like, well, guess what I was doing in there, guys? So
we don't need to guess. We can smell it.
Yeah, you don't want to. So, like, I understand him not coming out, but, like, you know, it was just a weird situation to begin with.
Oh, my. You know, you probably should have opened the door because the smell could have dispersed everybody in an instant.
It may have done that. And that would have been pretty pretty powerful. That would have been a powerful moment.
That would have been a power move.
This guy
would have been a gosh darn hero.
Yeah, so anyways, I go wash my hands and everything else, and then I come into, well, there's like six people in the hallway being like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay, but like, I just feel grossed out. Like, that was the thing that bothered me the most, and like, I felt awful for the kid, because being outnumbered is never a good situation to begin with, but yeah, no. Let alone like, at school where like, people are witnessing it happen, like, and you're just not prepared for it. Like, even to this day, like, I've been there 15 years, I've seen fights before.
Right.
But, like, you kind of forget about it with everything else going on. And then when you see it again and you see the violence and, like, you hear about it. But, like, when you're actually there, it's terrifying because you don't know how it's going to end up. And, like, you know what? One of the teachers in the hallway was like, your wife
is going to kill you.
And I was like, I know, but she'll understand. Like, I'll explain to her. And sure enough, like, first thing I did when I went to my desk, I was like, don't be mad.
Don't be mad.
But I kind of got into the middle of a fight and had blood on my hands and stuff. And I just want to let you know before you hear it from a kid. Because, you know, in schools, like,
Not touching you tonight.
She would have heard about it, like, right away.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And
News, you know, spreads like wildfire.
She said she didn't hear anything about it until her last class of the day.
Wow. You know, so when I'm thinking about your fight, and I think back to one of my first fights that I broke up, you did the same thing that I did. We rescued the kid who was getting beat on, and you pushed him aside, get him into a safe place, and had somebody else deal with the aggressor. And I did the same thing. I remember it vividly. I was outside, probably the science hallway. And the fight had happened. The kids are going all which way. It was just two of them, not in team up situation like yours. But as soon as that kid who was getting beat on, and I deemed to be losing an opportunity to strike, I pulled that kid into the classroom and closed the door. And that kid got mad at me. He's like, I had them, and I'm looking at him with like a deadpan face, like, no, you didn't. Yeah. You were losing.
Yeah, and I wish I could have got him into a room, but like being in between classes, there were so many people. And then, you know, the worst part is like it just festered with me the entire rest of the day.
Oh, I know.
Because I replayed it like 40 times being like, did I do the right move? Like, was it the right thing to do? And like as a human being, I can't sit there and watch somebody just get beat on.
Well, you could always just go back and watch yourself on the camera.
Yeah, I could, but do I really want to do that? Because then I would be overanalyzing.
No,
you're like,
no, you don't want to do that.
What would I be analyzing? All my moves?
No, I'd be sitting there looking like, gee, Mr. Plant can lose a few pounds. He's looking kind of flubby out there.
Yeah, but I guess if I watched, I'd be like, well, Matt, you could have done this better. Matt, you could have done that better. But I don't know. I don't want to see the violence again. Like, I think that's the thing that I have a hard time with is, like, there should be no place for that in a building with kids and education.
No, I hate, you know, just the way the algorithms work on the internet sometimes. If I'm going down the wormhole of teacher stuff and school stuff, you know, you end up finding the fight videos.
Yeah.
And I hate watching them. It's just, but at the same time, it's like, ooh, there it is. You know, of course, it's usually like some school out in some nice weather place that's outside. I'm like, oh, they can fight outside?
Yeah, they should be happy.
That's not fair.
But they should be happy with the nice weather.
Right? They should all be happy. They're getting a lot of vitamin D or something like that. Who knows? But yeah, I hear you. That's hard to watch. I wouldn't want to watch that. And you know what? Don't beat yourself up over it. You did what you needed to do in the moment. You didn't hurt anybody. And you saved the kid from getting hurt even more.
Yeah, and if you're listening and you've been part of something like this, don't overanalyze it, because like I said, like I did that today. And you know, if you do nothing but try to de-escalate and get in between, you did your job. Like, that's what we're supposed to do. Like, some people will tell you, hey, don't get involved. I know your union would be like, don't get involved, just de-escalate, tell them stop.
And that is a hard thing to do. Do you get involved in breaking up the fight? And I know a lot of my female coworkers are like, absolutely not. These men, like, you know, if we're as high school teachers, gosh, I mean, if you've got a female teacher who weighs all of like 110, 130 pounds, somewhere in that range, you know, you're going to have male students who literally weigh 100 pounds more.
Yeah, and I would never want people to do anything that's uncomfortable.
They're going to get, and I hate hearing the horror stories of teachers getting hurt in these situations when they're just trying to keep children safe.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, what do you do?
Where do you draw the line? Should you be getting into a fight? Is that in our job description? Because I don't remember reading that anywhere.
No, and I don't remember any training in my education courses about how to be a bouncer. Do you?
No, I don't. And maybe that's in the grad course that I didn't take, but I did not see that on the elective list.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there should be one.
You know, I think you're onto something. I mean, you're probably a black belt, so you could totally do this.
I mean, I may have dabbled.
How to fight students. I mean, how to defend students.
Only defending.
Not fight them, etc.
Yeah, but it's just tough. Like, there's that fine line of what are you supposed to do? And I've asked multiple times, and I can never get a clear answer.
Nobody's got one. But if somebody's got one, I would love to hear it. Please tell us.
Yeah, or if you know something that works to de-escalate other than telling someone to stop while they're already, like, heated up and ready to roll.
Maybe an air horn.
Ooh.
That might not be bad. Like, something like that. They'd just be like, what?
They'd be like, is there a DJ around here?
DJ Maddox.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was a serious situation, and it's a tough way to start the day, but like I said, like, you just never know what to expect every day.
No, and it is definitely a challenge.
Yeah, so, like I said, if you're listening, do your best, and, you know, you can't always predict what's going to happen. Because that situation could have ended up worse for me. I could have got hit, been out of work. What do you do?
Day off?
Well, maybe.
Does it come out of your sick bank?
Yeah, but then you'd have kids being like, Mr. Hematix, he got beaten up?
Ooh, you don't want that flying around.
No, because it's like I can't do anything to defend myself because, like I said, you're dealing with people who might be underage. So then, like, automatically it's like, okay, it's an adult and a minor.
Yeah.
And then, like, you look at teaching licenses and stuff like that. Like, I don't want to ruin my career, but you feel powerless almost in those situations.
Right. I would think in most scenarios, unless you went overboard and started swinging. Although, you know, you hear those horror stories of somebody losing it, and I get it.
Yeah.
Teaching is stressful. It's mentally exhausting, and losing that can just be it's human nature, and it takes a lot of willpower and self-control to not. And you got to think about it. You're tired, you're exhausted, you haven't had your third cup of coffee by that time of the day.
Yeah, but it's a great way to start a Monday, huh?
Yeah. Oh, happy Monday to you, my friend.
Listen, I was a little tired. It definitely woke me up for the rest of the day.
Oh, your blood got pumping for sure.
Yeah, and then we know what the best part about it is. I walk into class, and my kids are like, are you okay, mister? I was like, yeah, who's ready for algebra? Because what else do you do, right? Because I'm still required to teach my daily load that rest of that day.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Made it through.
All right, so if you're still listening, congratulations. You definitely survived our trauma dump.
And just remember, if a kid tells you they're going to be famous one day, they might mean jail or reality TV.
Either way, not your problem after June.
This has been the Blackboard of Broken Dreams, the only professional development that pairs well with whiskey and bad choices. Cheers. Humor's bold. Mathematics math don't add up neat. But his punchlines, oh, it's a funky beat. Blackboard of broken dreams. Whoa, yeah. Where the laughter's loud and the sarcasm streams.